On the 5th of April 2024, the 2023 to 2024 tax year will come to an end. And today we are going to show you how doctors, dentists, and other healthcare professionals like you can save thousands of pounds in tax by just doing some really simple things. But you've got to do it before the 5th of April 2024. So if you're watching this or listening to this after then, unfortunately, you missed the boat. And if you did miss the boat, it is probably because you are not subscribed to our YouTube channel or subscribed to our podcast. And it almost certainly means that you are not on our email list, because this comes out on our email list first. So you can either subscribe to the podcast, to YouTube, or go to medicsmoney.co.uk/join and you'll get all the latest intros.
The Medics Money podcast helps doctors, dentists, and other professionals make better financial decisions. Hosted by myself, Dr. Tommy Perkins, a GP.
And by me, Dr. Ed Cantelow, a GP, but also a chartered accountant and chartered tax advisor.
This podcast is for general information only and does not constitute any form of advice, and tax allowances and rates are subject to change.
To dish out this amazing tax wisdom and tips, I'm of course joined by Medics Money's number one accountant turned doctor, Dr. Cantelow. Welcome back, mate.
Yeah. Hi, Tommy. How are things?
They are good. I am balancing looking after a feverish child who's spinning around on a desk chair just under there. So this could go bad. But let's get straight into it, because seriously, there are thousands of pounds worth of legitimate tax reliefs and deductions up for grabs, but you got to do it. And because we're doctors or dentists or healthcare professionals, of course, we leave it to the very last minute. So much so that we even left making this video to the very last minute as well. So let's get straight into it. We're going to start with some basic stuff. We're also going to get into some high level stuff as well, which is around adjusted net income, tax-free childcare, lifetime ISAs, capital gains tax. Let's go for the easy stuff first.
Yep, sounds good. A lot of people may have done this already, but for those of you who haven't, it's really important to make sure that you claim a tax rebate, if appropriate, for the tax year 2019 to 2020 before you lose it. So basically, you can claim for your allowable employment expenses against your employment income for the past four tax years, and of course the current tax year which we're in, which right now is 2023 to 2024. But that means if you think going back four tax years ago, that's the 2019 to 2020 tax year. So if you had any allowable employment expenses, fee, a Royal College fee, be it Medical Protection Society, MDU fee, whatever, if you had any expenses between the 6th of April 2019 and the 5th of April 2020, you need to make sure you claim those before the tax year ends on the 5th of April of this year. Okay, so definitely if you had any expenses that year which you've not claimed already, go and check and then make sure you make that claim, because especially given that you can claim for your Royal College exams under a training contract, they can really, really add up, and you could end up getting quite a chunky tax rebate if you have some expenses to claim. So if you haven't done it already and you have incurred any expenses from the 6th of April 2019 to the 5th of April 2020, then make sure you make that claim ASAP before you miss out.
Absolutely. And if you have claimed because you've been following Medics Money for ages, congratulations, but share the wealth, okay? We all need to help each other to do this. Okay, so we have a guide for doctors, which you can download at medicsmoney.co.uk. Go to our website, it says free guide. If you are a nurse or not a doctor, if you go to medicsmoney.co.uk/nurses, we have our guide for nurses there as well. So definitely check that out, right? So that is just like basic level, right? And that needs to be done whether you're a junior doctor or a high roller. Because if you're a high roller, let's talk about high rollers, shall we? Because I'm seeing like one of the biggest ways to make a massive tax saving right now is to avoid the so-called tax traps. We talk about them all the time. One of the biggest tax traps of them all affects those that are earning between 100 and 125, 140. Plus, if you have tax-free childcare, that area between 100 and 125, 140 is a terrible place to be tax-wise. But you don't just have to suck it up. There's stuff that you can do to get out of it. So can we dive into adjusted net income, possibly ways to get back under the £100,000 threshold? And whilst accepting that this is a very nice problem to have, we are absolutely in favour of paying tax. We are not in favour of taxes which disincentivize hard work or result in marginal rates pushing 80%, because that makes no sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you say, Tommy, there are these kind of classic tax traps. And as you say, we are not anti-paying tax. Tax is really important. It's just about these areas where things get distorted and they can have quite devastating financial consequences, which you may not be aware of. So that's what we're talking about right now. There are a number of these areas, but they all revolve around the concept of having an adjusted net income over a certain value. Okay, so you mentioned two classic ones there, where the adjusted net income is over £100,000. If you go over £100,000 of adjusted net income, you start to lose your, every £2 of adjusted net income over £100,000, you lose £1 of your personal allowance. And that leads to marginal tax rates that are much higher than you expect. In that income range, you expect, okay, yeah, my tax rate is 40% in the UK, apart from Scotland, where it'd be 42%, or from next year, 45%, but let's not go there right now. But you know, that's not your marginal tax rate. Your marginal tax rate is the percentage of tax you pay on that additional £1. And that is much higher because you begin to lose your personal allowance at the same time. Now, added to that, as you say, there's a cliff edge when it comes to your tax-free childcare. The tax-free childcare scheme, you can only claim for it if your adjusted net income is below £100,000. Once it reaches that threshold, you lose the entire amount. It's complete and utter cliff edge. There's no tapering like there is for the personal allowance. You just completely lose it, okay? There's also another area where marginal tax rates make a difference, and that is to do with what's called the higher income child benefit charge, which currently is around the adjusted net income of 50,000 mark. But if you go above that and you're claiming child benefit, you will get a charge where you have to repay the child benefit. And when that reaches £60,000, you have to repay the entire amount. That is changing from this April. But again, it's another area where an extra pound of income may have unforeseen consequences. Now, one thing that you can do is consider what your adjusted net income is for the tax year. So we're almost at the end of the tax year. So you should hopefully have a rough idea now of what your income is going to be, okay, and hopefully what your taxable income is going to be, okay, and you can use that to work out if you're near any of these thresholds, and if you are, it may be worth doing something about it to try and bring yourself below the threshold, okay. So a lot of people get quite worked up about adjusted income. What is it? How do you calculate it? And nothing in tax is ever easy, let's face it. But think of adjusted net income as essentially your taxable income as a starting point, okay? So you add up your sources of taxable income. You would include your salary or any private profits you might have from a business, any dividends, any bank interest. You wouldn't include income from ISAs, for example, or capital gains. You're just looking at your taxable income, okay? Now, your taxable income should already exclude your NHS pension because that would already be coming off to get to your taxable income, okay? You should also be claiming those professional expenses, just like we spoke about at the start of this recording, because they also will reduce your taxable income. Okay, so they can be quite invaluable to claim if you need to bring your adjusted net income down below a certain threshold. Okay, once you've done that and you've got your taxable income, consider if that is above one of these thresholds, in particular if it is above £100,000. Okay, and if it is, there might be some things that you can do to bring it down to below £100,000 and save you some heartache, shall we say. There are two classic ones that you can do, okay? Because what the calculation says is once you've got your taxable income, to get your adjusted net income, you can then deduct, in particular, two types of payment. One is any grossed up charitable donations, and two, any private pension contributions, okay? Now, in terms of charitable donations, those are charitable donations made under the gift aid scheme. So you have to claim gift aid on them, but you can claim, you basically gross up the amount that you've made. So and take the amount that you paid to a charity. If you tick the gift aid box, multiply that by 1.25, and that will give you the grossed up amount that you can then deduct from your taxable income. Okay. So if I pay £80 to the local cat home, I can then times that by 1.25, that'll get me to 100. And that's that £100 I can deduct from my taxable income to get my adjusted income. You can do the same for private pension contributions, assuming that if you make that contribution to a private pension and the pension provider gives you tax relief at the basic rate, again, you can take off the gross amount, which is what you paid plus the basic rate of tax. But again, just like with the gift aid, you multiply that by 1.25. Okay, so if I pay £8,000 into a private pension and the pension scheme claims tax relief from HMRC, I can actually take off £10,000. Okay, so 8,000 times 1.25. Okay, so in summary, your adjusted net income is your taxable income, which has already had your NHS pension removed, less any employment expenses that you've claimed that are allowable. Okay, you get taxable income. Then you can take off any payments to charity that you made under gift aid times 1.25, the gross amount, and any pension contributions you made times 1.25 if your pension scheme has then claimed back the tax. If there's no extra tax relief, you can deduct that gross amount. Okay, but essentially, think about it this way. If your adjusted net income is around the £100,000 mark, think about whether you should be making any charitable donations or a contribution to a private pension to try and bring that down to save some of your allowances. Bearing in mind, of course, that making a contribution into a private pension scheme may have other consequences in terms of the annual allowance and so on. So you may want to get some advice, some professional advice on that. But just at I would say, simple level, just an income, taxable income, less grossed up charitable donations, less pension contributions that either grossed up for tax relief or just that set amount if there's no extra tax relief.
Mate, that was awesome. I'm seeing loads of people and I'm getting loads of WhatsApps from friends about this, getting a bit confused about this. I think possibly people are overcomplicating it. And HMRC have a calculator on their website to work out your adjusted net income. But I think HMRC themselves might be contributing to the confusion because of the tax treatment of the NHS pension. So I know you don't like to oversimplify things, and I think you've given a really simple explanation there. But imagine I am a consultant, right? Not a GP, because it's different for GPs, and we talk about this inside our private community that's attached to our course. I'm a consultant. I'm sat there looking at my March payslip, okay? Assuming like no other sources of income at all, what is my adjusted net income? How does that reflect? Like when I'm looking at my payslip, what number should I be looking for?
Yeah, so you should see on your payslip your taxable income on there, because everyone talks about their P60s. Okay, so May, everyone will get their P60, which comes from their employer that they had on the 5th of April of the tax year, right? But essentially, your March payslip is equivalent to your P60. Okay, so you don't have to wait until May for your P60. In March, you'll get a payslip. You can see then what your taxable income to date is. Look for the year to date figure. Okay, that will already have your NHS pension taken off. Okay, once you've got that, you may have already claimed for your employment expenses. You may be getting some relief via your tax code. If you have, then once again, you're sitting pretty there. You just want that figure that says taxable income, taxable employment income to date, year to date. Okay, if you haven't made a claim for your employment expenses, you may want to look into doing that to bring that down further. But that is currently your adjusted net income until you take off any charitable donations or private pension contributions which you've made in that year.
All right. I hope that helps everyone that's WhatsApping me and on the various Facebook groups that I see where confusion is rife. As I say, I don't think HMRC are helping here because of the unique kind of position that the NHS pension puts us in. If it doesn't help you and you're on YouTube, drop in the comments and see if we can get into it further. Okay, let's go. That was complex. That was for the high rollers. Let's roll it back a little bit and talk about some other allowances and reliefs that could help anyone, really.
Yeah. So the next thing to say, and we do appreciate that this can be difficult to get to the full limit, but still anyone can do this. Try and utilize your ISA allowances where you can. Okay. Because don't forget that every UK taxpayer over the age of 18 can save up to £20,000 each tax year in ISAs, whether that's a cash ISA, stocks and shares ISA, the lifetime ISA, etc. And by utilizing your ISA allowance, any income from interest or dividends is tax-free. If within the ISA, any capital gains you make on any share sales within the ISA, that's free from capital gains tax. That's becoming all the more important as the government try and save money elsewhere by cutting allowances for dividends or capital gains tax. Yeah, it's important to try and utilize those allowances where you can. Now, obviously, we appreciate that £20,000 is a huge amount of money and not a lot of us are going to be able to get to that full amount. Just if you have any money that you have sitting left over that you want to invest, definitely consider using an ISA to do that. As I say, that kind of tax-free wrapper is really invaluable. And of course, if you don't use any of your ICE allowance this year, you lose it. So you'll get a whole new £20,000 allowance next year, but the one for this tax year is gone once the tax year goes. You should also bear in mind that children also have a £9,000 allowance each tax year via what's called a junior ISA. Now, again, we appreciate £9,000 is a lot of money. Don't get us wrong. We're not trying to say this is easy, but definitely consider, if you can, utilising your ISA allowance for this tax year. Because as I say, if you don't use it or part of it, then you lose it. There's no carry forward for that.
Awesome, mate. Did we talk about lifetime ISAs?
We mentioned them as a subset of that £20,000 allowance. But yeah, that's a really good point to go into them a little bit further. With the lifetime ISA, I'm sure a lot of our listeners will be aware, but the government will pay 25 pence for every £1 that you put into your ISA, up to a maximum of £1,000 from the government. So if you were to be lucky enough to be able to put £4,000 into your lifetime ISA, the government would put in £1,000 into that ISA. So that's another bonus you can get. Again, if you don't utilise your ISA this tax year, if it's you're entitled to it, if you don't use it this year, again, you lose that pot for this year, and a whole new £4,000 allowance will appear next year. That is a subset, by the way, of the £20,000. So within your £20,000 ISA allowance, there's a £4,000 ISA allowance if you want to utilise that. Also important to know, again, I bang on about this all the time, if you're turning 40 at any point this year and you haven't already set up a ISA, make sure that you do set up a ISA before your 40th birthday if you want to have one. Because once you reach 40, you completely and utterly lose that opportunity. If you're turning 40 this year and you haven't got a ISA already, think about whether you want to contribute even just a small amount into one, so you've got the option to contribute to it up to your 50th birthday if you want to.
Awesome, mate. And I think if we're talking about like tax relief, tax efficiency of pension versus lifetime ISA versus ISA, I'm thinking of that slide that's in our Medics Money financial wellbeing course. Go to medicsmoney.co.uk/courses, I think, possibly, if you want to join the next cohort. But it's just a great slide that kind of breaks down how the tax relief works, because I, like, everyone's always saying, oh, should I put it in my lifetime ISA? Should I put it in my ISA? Should I put it in my pension? The answer is, it depends on your individual circumstances. If you've got an adjusted net income of £101,000, okay, and you've got the annual allowance headroom to do it, it makes no sense to put that £1,000 in your lifetime ISA and get a 25% bonus. Because if you put that £1,000 in a private pension, not advice, do your own research, you're going to save way more than the 25% bonus. So it just depends. But essentially, pensions are the most tax efficient way to save for retirement because of the tax relief. And just to reiterate, like from your slide, if you're a basic rate taxpayer, you put £80 in to your pension, the government tops it up to £100. Okay. If you're a higher rate taxpayer, you put £60 in your pension, the government tops it up by £40 and you end up with £100. So you just put £60 in and you end up with £100 in the pension. And if you're an additional rate taxpayer, you put £55 in, the government tops it up to make it to £100. So you get £100 in your pension for £55 effective tax income because of the way tax relief works. Is that right? You're nodding.
Yeah, basically, yeah. So you think about it in a different way, or the same. Basically, you're right, but think about it this way: if with pensions, and if you contribute into a private pension, you're getting tax relief at your marginal tax rate. So if you're a 45% taxpayer, as Tommy said, you'll get tax relief at 45%. If you're a 20% taxpayer, you'll get relief at 20%, etc. ISAs are also really, really good, but what you're doing is you're getting the income or gains tax-free, basically. So you're not getting tax relief per se, or not actively getting tax relief. What happens is, if you make any income or gains in your ISA, you're not paying tax. So yes, a lot of people would say that pensions are more tax efficient. But again, as Tommy said, it's all very much dependent on your personal circumstances as to what's better.
Exactly. And of course, the benefit that an ISA has over a pension is that the pension you can only get at a certain age, whereas the ISA, you can effectively get that money back as any time you want, unless, of course, it's a lifetime ISA and you have to wait until 60. So yeah, I think that table that you made for our course just got this so clear in my mind about where you should allocate your tax-free savings. And as a general principle, pensions are the most tax-efficient way to save for retirement. They do come on a downside, though, of possible annual allowance charge. There's no lifetime allowance at the moment, but maybe that's going to change after the next election. So yeah, just think about it logically, because I guarantee you there's someone listening to this podcast who's got an adjusted net income of £101,000 and is using tax-free childcare. They listen to our Lifetime ISA podcast, which everyone seems to be obsessed with, and they're like, oh, 25% free from the government. I'm definitely going to put £1,000 in my Lifetime ISA this year. Ugh, possibly not a good move for the reasons that hopefully we've made clear. Okay, next tax break that we should be utilizing.
Yeah, now this is, okay, this is a little bit trickier to influence and therefore utilize, but we're going to mention it just in case there are people out there that can do case. At the moment, in the current tax year, which is the 2023 to 2024 tax year, everyone has a capital gains tax, tax-free annual allowance of £6,000. Okay, the government cut it from over £12,000 to £6,000 in this tax year. And what they're going to do is cut it again further to £3,000 from 6th of April 2024. Now, is this something that you could potentially utilize, this higher annual allowance or CGT, capital gains tax, tax-free annual allowance? Can you utilize that higher amount for this tax year? So if you've got an asset sitting at a capital gain that is going to be subject to capital gains tax that you intend to sell, then, as I say, consider doing so or selling part of it. So, for example, if you've got shares, you can sell part of your shareholding before the 6th of April 2024 to utilize that higher annual allowance. We're not saying this is easy to do, okay? First of all, many assets are not liable to capital gains tax, and that includes shares in ISAs that we just mentioned. And you should also definitely only sell an asset if you want to or you need to. You shouldn't be letting the tax tail wag the dog here, okay? But it is something to think about because, as I say, right now, if you make a capital gain and you on an asset that you've sold, £6,000 of that is capital gains tax free. From next tax year, that's been cut to £3,000. So if you've got some shares sitting at a gain that you really do want to sell because you want to diversify your portfolio and invest them somewhere else, so you're always going to be selling them anyway, and they're set at a gain, you could think about, for example, selling a chunk of those shares this year to utilize that £6,000 annual allowance and then sell some more next year from the 6th of April when the annual allowance is £3,000. We're not saying that this is something that everyone could do. We're not saying it's easy, all these things. If you don't know about it, you won't think about it, you won't do it or consider it. So it's all about just having that knowledge. Can you utilize this? A lot of us can't, but can you? Think about your assets and if you can utilize that, okay? In a similar vein, the dividend allowance, where you can get dividends tax-free, that was cut in this tax year to £1,000 by the government. They're cutting it again from the 6th of April 2024 to £500. Most people don't have any ability to dictate when or if dividends are paid out. If you bought shares in Tesco, you can't control whether Tesco are going to pay you a dividend or not. They just do at some point in their financial year. But for those of you who are trading or operating via your own sort of company for private practice work, etc., you may wish to think about paying out a dividend in this tax year to utilize this allowance before it gets cut again to £500 next year. So again, it's tricky, but it's all about letting people know what is out there, what they can do.
Absolutely. So yeah, good tip. Are we saying final tip?
Yep. I think this is the final tip for this podcast/video. And again, it's another allowance to utilize if you can. Okay. And that is the inheritance tax annual exemption. Okay. So if you're at that stage in life where you are considering the inheritance tax liabilities that your loved ones may pay when you pass away, it's definitely worth utilizing your yearly annual exemption of £3,000 if you can. Okay. As I say, it's £3,000 you can give or gift to your loved ones or to anyone really, and that will be exempt from inheritance tax. Okay. You can also carry forward the annual exemption from the tax year before if not used. So, for example, if you this year you have no intention or can't or don't want to use your £3,000 inheritance tax annual exemption, it will carry forward to the next year. Okay. So you can only utilize the current year and one past tax year. So it's not like they roll forward forever, but that is one thing to bear in mind. All the other allowances just disappear on the 6th of April and replaced by the new tax year. But inheritance tax, you can carry forward one tax year. But again, for those of you who are thinking about inheritance tax, something to consider doing this tax year before, if you can. And also you can utilize the previous tax year annual exemption at this moment in time. So the annual exemption for 2022 to 2023, that is up for grabs at the moment if you haven't used it already. So again, not relevant to everyone, but again, something to think about for those of you who are interested.
Brilliant. Okay, so hopefully that helps some of you save a ton of tax before the tax year ends. Please, if you could share this with your friends, it helps other healthcare professionals to find out this essential information, which no one else teaches us. We learn plenty of medicine at med school, which is good, but no one teaches us about managing our money, which is bad. If you're on YouTube and you've got questions, drop them in the comments. We'll try to answer them there. And if you want more of this in much more detail, how we run our finances and how you can too, we have a brand new course coming out called the Medics Money Financial Wellbeing Course. If you go to our homepage, click at the top menu, our courses, you can sign up for the waiting list there. I think this is the first time we've mentioned it on a podcast or an email, but somehow there's 50 people on the waiting list already. So I'm not sure how that's happened. So you might want to head over there. Thanks so much for your support. Look forward to catching you up on YouTube or podcast next time. Cheers, mate. That was awesome.
Cool. Thanks, guys. Bye.